from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the person who, you know, I say, well, what instead of throw pillows, shouldn't you call them toss pillows? Or shouldn't they be called couch pillows? And then how come it's a throw pillow, but then the blanket they just shortened to throw? Am I right? Oh, I heard that person that quoted that song that said, am I right? Or the other one. No. I mean, here's the thing. Let's call him toss. He say, well, toss that pillow over here. Please don't throw it. And you say, well, I'm actually handing it to you because I'm next to you on the couch. Ian, here's another thing, marketers. I don't think anyone calls it. Maybe some people do say, give me that throw. No, see, that's really hard to say. You see, give me that blanket. I want to snuggle in with, you know, this is a couch analogy, but this is the podcast you snuggle into a bedtime, because as little as it makes sense, it's time for Sleep With Me podcast to put you to sleep. And here's a couple of ways we keep the podcast free for everybody. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and I actually need you to listen to this message. If you're a regular listener, Sleep With Me. If you're new, don't worry about it. But we've got some big decisions with the show on the horizon, so I really, really need your help. If you are a regular listener to Sleep With Me, and it has changed how you sleep, you rely on the show, you like the show, it does something for you, or you feel good about the podcast, you like it, or you count on it, I really got to ask you to take action. So if Sleep With Me means something to you, or you like it, if you can afford to support the show directly, or you're willing to consider giving up one takeout lunch a month to support Sleep With Me, try out a trial of Sleep With Me Plus and test out Sleep With Me Plus over the 7-day trial and just see what you think. But I think you'll find you'll be blown away, because there's so many different ways to listen to Sleep With Me and stuff like that. So if you think you can afford to support the show, please do that at Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And if it doesn't make a difference to you, like it's like I can move on to something else if you stop making the show, or you decide to put out way, way less episodes, or you change what you're doing, I totally am fine with that. That's fine. But if Sleep With Me really does make a difference for you, I mean, I love making the show. I don't like being direct, because I usually get way more not nice emails when I'm direct about stuff. But I don't want to put out a message like 3 months from now and be like, you know what, we're changing things up and we've made some hard decisions. I want you to be a part of this decision-making process, because it's really like the other time Sleep With Me's been in this place. It's just taken being direct and saying, hey, if you care about the show, I need you to think about doing something about it. So think about it. It'll be cool. Like I trust that there's enough of you out there that get so much out of the show, because I've heard from you before. So yeah, check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, or take one of those other actions. And what do you say we get on with the show? All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each design designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo. Modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. And oh boy, do I want to thank Kitty Pickles for supporting Feels, making Feels a part of their bedtime routine. And then Esma and Spooky M signing up and getting themselves some Four Sigmatic, and letting Four Sigmatic know they heard about them on the show. The Sleepy Supporter Zone is a part of the podcast. Yeah, it's a little bit of a higher pace because I'm so excited to bring you this podcast for free because of the people that supported the sponsors, like Kitty Pickles, Esma, and Spooky M. So if you support a sponsor, tag them on Twitter or Instagram or let them know about it. Let me know about it. And I can try to thank you here in the Sleepy Supporter Zone because you're a hero bringing this podcast free for everybody. And that's the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Oh, Mystery Bard. A lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson.
Sounds like an earful.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes. Too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullaby song.
I'm making a podcast.
About writing songs.
It's called As It Happens.
Song of the Day.
Can find it,
just search for it.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer, these are your narrators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
So proud that we could dance to be part of Nine Veil Presents. Oh, now on with the show.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. Also, make sure to check out Mystery Bard's new podcast. A link to it will be in the show notes about how Jonathan Mann writes a song a day. And what do you say we get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing? Trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do, or all you could do, is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is to create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. So whether that's thoughts, things you're thinking about, feelings that are coming up, related to those thoughts, maybe just those ones that are there. And you say, oh boy. I mean, or you say, oh boy, this can be trouble. You know, could be good. You know, whatever. Let's not label. Feelings that are coming up, or feelings in the case of recording a podcast intro about that it improperly described feelings. That happens too. So feelings, physical sensations, It changes in time, temperature, schedule. You know, if you're sleeping during, you got to sleep at your second or third shift, you're on the road, you're away from your partner, like a recent live show, we talked about that. Whatever it is that's keeping you awake, I'd like to help with that. And what I'm going to do is I do have this safe place, and as I say a lot, I do try to smooth it. I try to pat it. I try to rub it down. I try to say safe place. And like, I also try to make it optional and invitation. This is the safe place invitational, where you're invited to just watch it. You say, okay, you're invited in the safe place, but you could also watch it like a safe place invitation. You say, that would be a good name for a golf tournament. I don't have the funds to sponsor it. But you say, welcome to the safe place invitational. This is actually a podcast intro, but we're going to be watching Scoot's attempt to craft analogies about his podcast here at the Safe Place Invitational at Rolling Sleepy Hills. That could be any of those sports that have invitational events. So I'm going to try to create a safe place that you could say, well, you're invited in, but you could also look in and say, well, I'm not so sure it's safe for me. Let me check it out first. Then what I'm going to do is use this now. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use a lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet golf commenter tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. Believe me, I'm going to go off topic. All to take your mind off of stuff and keep you company as you drift off. Now, if you're new, I'm glad you're here. Let me give you some information for the Safe Place Invitational. One, you're invited. Two, you're seen and welcome. Three, if you're skeptical or doubtful, that's invited and welcomed too here at the Safe Place Invitational. Because who wouldn't be? You say, is this a podcast to put me to sleep? What's this dude talking about? Of course it is. So here's a couple other things to know. Structurally, what to expect is the show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep the podcast free for everybody. It's pretty cool. The people that support the show keep it free for everybody and support our sponsors. Then there's an intro. Now, the intro for the podcast is about 12 to 18 minutes or so. And it's just a chance for you to wind down. Especially new listeners, understandably, can get thrown off by the intro because it's not efficient. It doesn't get to the point. It's full of silliness and over-explanations. And so I can understand you might be like, what is this? And why are you still using a golf voice? And I say, well, let's just see how it goes, eh? So the intro, though, is designed as part of a wind down. As your bedtime, you get ready for bed. Some people listen in bed and fall asleep. Some people are petting their pets. Some people skip ahead, maybe a few percentage of people, to 20 minutes or so. Some people listen during the day to unwind, so it's kind of optional. But the main idea of the intro is to give you some time to ease you into bedtime. Something familiar, but also it's different every time. And then you say, I don't understand, what is he talking about? So that's the intro. Then there'll be some business between the intro and the story, kind of just how podcasting structure sponsorship works. Then there'll be a bedtime story tonight. I'm not sure what the bedtime story after this will be. I know it'll be sleepy. I know that much. Maybe it'll be the sleepy invitation. Maybe it will be the Safe Place Invitational. I think that probably is a good idea for tonight's episode. So that's the structure of the show. Then there's some thank yous at the end. Also, if you're new, a couple things to know. No pressure to pay attention or to follow along or to make sense of the show. Kind of consume it with a loose focus. Almost like a soft focus where you say, okay, wow, that looks a little bit dreamy. And I'm not sure, like, take the edges off. That's kind of my job to do. So that's the struggle. Oh, no, that's the, so you don't need to listen to me, clearly. Also, no pressure to fall asleep, believe it or not. I'm going to be here for about an hour. And my job is to keep you company, really, as you drift off. And if you can't sleep or you wake up, I'll be here till the very end. I put as much work into the end of the show as the beginning. Because I know those of you that are there. I don't know. I mean, I think it works in a dual, like it works in two ways. At the Sleepy Invitational, there's some people that listen for comfort and companionship in the deep, dark night. And there's some people that are asleep, but the completely senseless nature, but yet complete nature of the episodes, I think, somehow aids in that. No pressure to listen, no pressure to fall asleep, but I'll be here for about an hour. I make the show because I know how it feels. I've been there in the deep, dark night, tossing and turning, unable to fall asleep. So I really want to help because I know how it feels. And I also truly believe you do deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a place where you can feel rested and refreshed and ready for the next day. So that's about it. As far as the structure of the show goes, that's it. I guess like I'm trying to think of, I don't know if I've ever used a golf commentator, you know, but always it seems like they say, okay, now Scoots is going to try to make one for that final analogy about the podcast. He's the first person here at now this was unexpected. He was barefoot recording the podcast. I mean, he is in his own home in a closet, which has become a climbing closet since he made some changes to kind of, because the closet doesn't have a door. He put some stuff in front of it, so now he has to climb around that stuff. But what we were saying was he was barefoot, and that we wonder if we were actually out at the rolling Sleepy Hills course, we'd say has there been a barefoot golfer? We would say he's not the barefoot Contessa. But if the Safe Place Invitational was competitive, we'd say he's a barefoot contestant. But we can't say that because that wouldn't apply. We'd just say, huh, he showed up with this. And Scoots is also wondering if that's a rule. Like at golf tournaments, do you have to have shoes? Not as a guest, but as a player. Because just curious, I know there's probably golfers listening and golf fans, and I just wonder, one, is a rule? Two, would anybody try it? Because you say, well, those things give me, I'd say, well, let's compare bare feet to those things, the cleaty things or whatever they're called. I know you give it traction. Now, you wouldn't be able to just do it immediately because, you'd want to, you couldn't just walk 18 holes or whatever. Also, yeah, you'd probably, during the walking, you might want to wear shoes or some sort of slip-on. But that, yeah, maybe it's like a flip-flop or some, you know, maybe a sandal, maybe something nice. You say, okay, I'm fashionable, but I'm also barefoot when I'm hitting the golf ball. You also might be wondering, Scoots, do you play golf? And I'd say no. I think I played once in the last 10 years, only for a few holes, and then I left. And that was at least, no, that wasn't even 10, that was like in the last 20 years. And it feels like 100 years ago and 5 minutes ago. I did it because one of my siblings was visiting who I knew liked golf. And they said, oh, we'll play a round of golf you have something to look forward to. And I hadn't played in like 20 years before that, or maybe, well, not 20 years, that's too much, but like many, 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 many years. Other than this, there is a course, a par 3 course in the city of Syracuse as part of the Parks and Recs department. And I will play that. That's actually a small par 3 golf course in the city at Burnett Park. And I will play that one. But that's because I could score like nine. You know, I could play that like a 18-hole golf course. You say, oh, yeah, what'd you get on that, 10? Okay, what about the next hole? Got a 10 on that. That way, yeah, you get like about four strokes to get to the green and then four strokes to get into the hole. If I get an 8, I'm like doing great. It takes the pressure off. The game of golf, what do they call that? The great, like, so anyway, that's about the limits of my golf. But just like that, I'm here to keep you company, invite you into the Safe Place Invitational, or invite you to view it and see how it goes. But really, I'm here to keep you company and take your mind off of stuff as you drift off. So yeah, just if you're new, give this show a few tries. That's what, like, I don't know how many thousands of reviews we have, but almost all the reviews say, hey, give it a few tries, and then I really started. I mean, some people say it works right away. And then there's also people that you don't hear from in the reviews that I hear from privately that say, oh, it doesn't work right away. I mean, some of those people post public reviews, but a lot of them send me wonderful private messages, just like that, say, okay, well, your podcast definitely didn't work for me, in stronger words. So give it a few tries. So, I mean, if it doesn't work for you and you're listening and you're open-minded about it, go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/no thank you, because there's some other sleep podcasts and sleepy stuff on there. But mostly, I'm here because I want help. I work very hard. I yearn and I strive. I really appreciate you coming by because I want to help you fall asleep. So thanks again. And here's a couple of ways we keep this podcast free for everybody. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, everybody, we're here at the first ever Sleep With Me podcast mini golf review show. And we're using our, trying to create a golfing announcer type voice. I'm here live with myself with Scooter here. Hi, everybody. It's Scooter. Thanks, Scooter. We'll try not to say that too many times. So, yeah, we're here with our first mini golf review show. Maybe our last, because I don't play a lot of mini golf. But maybe I'll start because if this, but the, yeah, so we're not reviewing shows. We're reviewing mini golf courses in review more than a review of the quality of the course. More of reviewing Scooter's mind and then, of course, going to the internet to get pictures and stuff of review. Have you been to that mini golf course? What do you remember, Scooter? And all those things. And so let's start off with Scooter. When I say mini golf, what do you recall about mini golf? And tell us a little bit about your background with mini golf. Thanks for having. It's really exciting. We're here with Scooter. And we're on the first hole where he'll be explaining what a mini golf means to him. Which some people, you know, have a different life story with mini golf. Maybe not that mine is, I guess I was late to, you know, oh, how I was late to mini golf, the chapter began. I remember seeing the commercials on TV when I was a lad. There was a competing things, mini golf and then a corporate version of it called putt-putt. And I do remember Putt-Putt had TV commercials that said Putt-Putt for the fun of it, Putt-Putt for the fun of it. And so for a time, that was my knowledge of mini golf, was that there was a thing, Putt-Putt. It was on the other side of the town, pretty far away. We never went to it. There was also a mini golf course that we would drive by when we, like, were somewhat near our house. Now, as an adult, I think it may be 4 or 5 miles away. Oh, yeah, I forget. We may never get to talking about mini golf. So, one thing you should know about me, if you didn't know it already, is that I'm oldest of 6 kids. In a family of 6, mini golf would be chaos and cost prohibitive for a family of 6, particularly when I'm the oldest and supposed to be the most functional to go mini golfing. It just really wouldn't work. That would be 8 people, and everyone would want to have to do, you know, just asking a lot. And again, I think when you look at when I was a lad, I would say that, because there are add-on costs, because you're going to want to hit the snack bar. So when I was a lad, mini golf was just not an option. And why would it be? It wouldn't have been. The whole idea is, I think they would also say putt-putt for everyone. And when you have a span of that ages, it just wouldn't be putt-putting for everyone. Also, we do not have any golfers in our family. My father may have played golf, and my mother may have played golf before in their life, before we were born, and tired them out so greatly. But once we were the shining apples of their eye, shining crab apples of their eye, even with just one, me, or with just a few, their pastimes did narrow down. And I think that, you know, maybe before we were there, they golfed, they downhill skied and all those things. But instead, you know, they brought me here today to bring you this quiet review of hole one. Can Scooter remember the first time he went mini golfing? Not really. I cannot totally remember. I can tell you, though, that other than those putt-putt commercials, which some of my friends did go to the putt-putt, there was a place near my home. It was called Fairmount Glen Mini Golf, and It was in the city of Fairmount, New York. I was just talking to someone, I think in the podcasting business, who knew someone from Camillus, New York. So those are two pieces of information. But the thing you need to know about Fairmount, New York is that when I was a child, again, to go back to the six kids, the two adults, when we would go out to eat, which wasn't very often, again, but if it was a celebratory birthday dinner or a special treat or just an occasion where my parents had a little bit of extra skrill to spread around, there was two places we would normally go. Burger King in Western Lights, which was very close to my house, which my parents seemed to prefer Burger King. I think Burger King at that time, they didn't have a Playland there, so it was less chaos, more likely to get something to eat. Occasionally, we would go to McDonald's, but most of the time, we went to Burger King. But we wanted a real sit-down family meal, really fancy eating. We would go to Pizza Hut, and this was different than the pre-delivery thing when Pizza Hut changed their formula and lost their way. I mean, not just my opinion. I think pizza history will stand to back me up on this, that the pizzas they cooked within the restaurant and the ones they delivered, it when delivery became an en masse thing, were different. Now, I could be wrong about that, and I'm willing to admit that. But so we would go out to Pizza Hut. Now, there was two Pizza Huts that we would go to. One was in Nedro, New York, and the other one was in Fairmount, New York. And for my family, going to this was a very big deal. One, because it was delicious. Two, normally we would get between the kids to split a pitcher of SODA, which kids today, don't worry, you know, don't think about it. And one of my parents would usually get a salad bar, so we would try to eat the sesame seeds. Also, they would usually have one or two arcade games that we would go and look longingly at. Maybe one of the older ones, you know, if we had a couple of quarters in our pockets, we'd play the game. But, you'd only be able to play it for about 30 seconds because arcade games were tough, especially the ones in Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut would have large plastic textured soda cups, I think a red color. The pizzas came, they were pan pizzas, they came in the pan, they were cooked in the pan and delivered to your table. And it really is, for Scooter, a real treasured memory. Really, truly, if I had a time machine, that would be one of the memories I would savor and visit. Is that sweet, sweet Pizza Hut in restaurant pizza. Now, the thing was, when you went to that Pizza Hut, you would pass this mini golf place, Fairmount Glen, it was called. And for a while, it always remained a mystery. Even when I started to be able to read, I think I wondered what it was. Because I didn't really, I didn't have an older sibling. And so it said Fairmount Glen Mini Golf, but it was in an actual glen, it wasn't a saying. It was in a glen or a gully or a ravine, whatever the other fancy words are. But glen's a pretty fancy word for it. So it was down. So you couldn't see anything but the sign from the road and the parking area. And so for a long time, it remained a mystery to me. And maybe I went to a birthday party there, but I don't remember going to any birthday parties there. So I have no memories of going to Fairmount Glen as a true child. But then in your tween years, before you, even in my teen years, I would believe for me, before you actually go on dates, when you go out as groups, but you're not going out to do rowdy stuff yet, you're still kind of kids or kids at heart. Mini golf is one of the few things you could do. Bowling, mini golf, movies, walking around, those. So we would, again, you know, when you had the money, we would go to Fairmount Glen. Now, what age was I? I believe the first time I can remember going there was eighth grade, though it may have been seventh, or I don't think I would have gone there before then. And to me, it was, and I had friends that had now entering into my middle school friends that were regulars at this mini golf place. So maybe even the first time I went was with a friend, a middle school friend, like the Mangoes, or maybe my friend Pat and I went, who were the other people I would have gone with, Kyle or Jeremy or some of the other people. So at some point, and I'm guessing eighth grade, we went to this Fairmount Glen. And then we would go there on a repeated basis in the spring, in the fall. Maybe, I don't know about the summer. I don't know if any, probably someone I knew worked there. But, and so that is, Scooter, does that cover my memory for hole one of Fairmount Glen mini golf? Yes, Scooter, but tell me about, now, especially looking at the pictures, there's a first striking image when you get there. Thanks, Scooter. I'm going to try to find it here on all these various websites. You'd be surprised at how hard it is, even with the ubiquitousness of photos and tagging, to find that I could not discover a hole-by-hole picture collage from anyone. But the first thing you kind of remember about it is the long stairway and pathway down from the parking lot into the glen. And now maybe you went at night or maybe you went during the day. But I think if you were in middle school, you're probably, like, it was after fall back, but you'd probably be playing at night, though not late at night. Maybe a Friday, maybe a Saturday night. And so you'd go down this path between this in these grassy hills. And as I was reading about Fairmount Glen, I learned that it was very well upkept. And I started to see these photos. The grass was always cut. The paths were clean. It has, I believe it's a Geddes Creek running through it. So it actually has a running river. But the first thing you do is you go down this path, and then you see the A-frame mini golf check-in and check-out building where you get your clubs and you get your ball. You look at the pricing. At least at the time of this photo I'm seeing now is taken. It was open till midnight, Sunday to Saturday. Opens at 10 a.m. So there you would get your putter and you would get your ball, and you'd decide with the people you were with what ball you would play with. There's like a lot of stonework there running through Fairmount Glen, and the river, which looks almost like, at least in the creek, I guess we could probably, because they did do a lot of work putting up walls and stuff. It does have a positive manufactured feel, which is really cool. So, so those are a few things that I remember. And I don't know if people call it the Glen, so I won't call, I will hesitate to call it the Glen, even though I'm tempted to, and I'd like to. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much, Scooter. Yeah, I'm looking at the sign here now, and that was the thing. There's stairs down, and then a path. And I guess if your parents dropped you off, or usually you'd carpool, so one parent would drop you off, and someone else's parent might pick you up. You'd see that sign. And here's the thing, in the heyday of Fairmount Glen, we'll do the 19th hole first, or the 18th hole, whatever it was, first, which was, and this is a popular thing with a lot of these mini golf. This is like the last hole is a challenge hole. And in this one, so it's a long running green. then there's a swoop up, and then like in skee ball, there's like a drop off. So you have to jump the drop off. And then there's a giant face. This one is not particularly detailed, C-L-O-W-N face, but it still is. So it has two holes for the eye, each eye, and then a nose, and then a pretty big mouth. And the nose is the smallest hole and the toughest to get it into. And then if you got it in the mouth, you would get -2 on the hole, deduct 2. I guess if you didn't get it, if you got it, as long as you got it into the, where the ball collection area, BCA, you probably got a 1. If you got it in one of the two colony clown eyes, you got a 2. And then if you got it in its mouth, if you got it in the mouth, you deduct a 2. If you got it in the eye, you deduct 4. And if you got it in the nose, which I'm sure it happened, you got a free game and a free personal pan pizza from the Pizza Hut right nearby. So that was exciting for everybody. So that's what I had lights, I think, to indicate which hole, which you got it in. And it was also covered with like a protective layer so that kids couldn't just drop, because everybody would try. And I think people would try to reach under and throw the ball, but even that wasn't effective and you could get caught. So that's a little bit about that. Now, I should also mention that I've never been very good at mini golf. People say that I say I'm not, I was born left-handed, but I don't know. I think I did one of those tests to see what my dominant eye was. And I am left-footed. I mean, I kick with my left foot. For the most part, I think it's like, oh, you're left-handed and left-footed, but your dominant eye is the wrong eye kind of thing. So things like mini golf, also I don't have, the same thing that makes this podcast work. Once I get into my own head, it's tough to get back out. So as soon as I would get frustrated or, playing with other kids, I would, my game would just, I didn't have the patience to just say, hey, we're supposed to be having fun. I wanted to be competitive, but I was not competitive. Though this mini golf course, I think, did offer a lot of opportunities for luck, almost a skill shot. But not based on total skill. It's like, okay, if you just hit it really hard in the right direction and you get it off to the side of something, this one did give out a lot of holes and ones on the skill shots. And that was also one of those fun things, I always forget what that term is, but an infernal machine where you watch the ball roll and then it goes through the stone wall and you hear it inside the tunnel rolling and then it plops out and then it rolls right into the hole. That was a very exciting thing. Very satisfying. I mean, in a really, a tangible way. So that's a little bit. So I was never very good at mini golf. Still to this day, I'm not, I tend to now play a 4-stroke game. I'll do my best on my first shot, right? But I won't try to overdo it, because if I overdo it, a lot of times I'll just, like a little kid, I'll hit it outside the entire course. But I try to hit it, whatever the strategic thing is, but in a conservative way. So I don't try to overdo it where it's going to bounce. Well, sometimes then I'll get frustrated and then I'll overdo it. But so that I have some chance for the skill shot, but then I'm not going all out. So then on my second shot, I can try to get it close to the hole. And then I'm not a very good putter, close up either. But so then I'll just try to put it really close and then put it in. And then, if you're going for a 4-stroke, then a lot of times you'll get a 3-stroke. Sometimes you'll get a 2. And that's really when I'm at my best enjoyment. Now, I won't come in first. We all know there's no first in life. There is. Okay. Well, I guess, that's what I tell myself. I'm also looking at some of these pictures. There's a lot of planters with flowers. There's a lot of different types of bushes. There's benches for sitting. And it's a really nice course. Now, one of the holes that you see a lot of and that you even saw here at Fairmount Glen was the windmill hole. And these pictures look just like the windmill. I remember it. Now, like a lot of the layout for Fairmount Glen was, again, lush. And then it would have brick type pavers. And then, of course, then like a stone or brick like outline. And because they'd been outside and through the winters, you know, it had everything had a nice patina to it. But then they definitely painted everything and took good care of the fake grass, the turf. So this hole was a windmill. And it was a white windmill with some yellow and red highlights, like particularly the edges of the windmill building were yellow. Then the main part was white. And then the roof and the tips of the actual fans or whatever were red. And this one was like probably seven feet tall, like a wind, whatever those things are called, fan to fan. And it moved at a slow and steady pace. You know, this was the kind of thing that, you know, video games at this time would prepare you for too. So basically what you want to do is shoot it right through the center of the windmill. And then you would drop down and you'd be headed to the hole. Now, if you hit the thing, like which happened to me a few times, then it could bounce all the way back to you. Also, if you hit the base of the windmill, it could go off to the side. Now, the windmills were moving very slow, so I can remember the times I did hit it, being kind of dismayed that I had even hit the windmill. I said, how did I manage to do that? And, you know, every once in a while, someone would try to stop the windmill. I think that was when we were even older. So that's a popular style hole here. But let me move on to another set of pictures here. These are actually pictures right from FairmountGlen.com. So that we could figure out the next sign. We're looking at the sign. A lot of the different, really a lot of work went into the landscaping, which is very impressive. But unfortunately, not a lot of, hole 13 is a par 3. Now, it doesn't, I don't see any pictures of it. A lot of people getting carried away with the style of, okay, so here's a waterfall hole. I do kind of remember this one. And this one was a big piece of stonework, manufactured two-tier, three-tier waterfall flowing. So you'd hit it down the main, what is it, fairway, I guess you'd say. And you were heading towards a waterfall. And again, I think there was like a couple drop-offs. It's not in the picture, but I think if you... You hit it through the waterfall. If you didn't hit it hard enough, you could get caught, and then it dropped down to some like open space on a lower level, a little bit away from the hole. But then I think if you hit it, maybe even on the inside underneath the waterfall, was like one or two holes, and like one of them you would drop down, and you could actually get a hole in one, and then the other one, you probably got shot out somewhere nearby. I'm also looking at another hole here that's like stonework uphill. Now, these uphill holes offer, you know, a big downside that we've all experienced, is which is when you don't get to the top of the hill and your ball rolls all the way back down, and then you hit it again and you hit it like out of the feature or whatever, off the hole. Or you just keep repeatedly not hitting it hard enough. That's all happened to me, to normalize it for you. But this hole like has like a very small, it has a drop off, but if you hit it right up the center, there's like a hole in one hole, which seems cool. Right now, I'm looking at the creek, which I had, even though the creek is not part of any hole, I did hit my ball into the creek before. And I think it was an accident, and someone actually asked me if I did it on purpose, like from my class that I was with. Also, answer another question that's come up. Never, I did ever got a date to go. I don't think I, maybe I did in like college, but I never got a date there. Maybe that's the last time I was there. It was like a summer during college. I got someone to go on a date with me there. And I don't think, this was not during that date, but there was one time I hit it into the river or the creek, and the creek was moving fast enough that you had to move fast to get your ball. And I think someone was like, why'd you do that? And I said, I didn't do it. What do you mean why? It just happened. Why are you showing up? No. I really just hit it. But there is a covered bridge over the river, which is beautiful. Another hole I'm seeing here was a red barn hole. And holy cow, this red barn is well painted and cared for. Now, I don't know how many versions they had to do this. Now, this one, so the red barn is sitting in the middle of a giant piece of greenery. And there's a bridge, like a green bridge leading to it, with nothing on the sides, like a little bit wider than a 2x4. And that goes down the center of the barn. And so you try to hit it down the fairway, then down this 2x4 covered in turf, through the barn. And then I think it led to the hole, and you probably get a hole in one. Or maybe there was a hole in the barn floor and then it rolled into the hole. But if you didn't do that, then you drop off to one of the sides, and the hole was on the other side of the barn. So then you'd have to kind of two-putt it just to get it by the hole, which, again, that's my strategy anyway. If I didn't do it, that would be one where I would go for it, you know. Okay, another hole that I do remember, and I'm seeing here, and I think they must have gone through a refurb because it added all this stonework at some point. Just because I can't imagine this stonework. I mean, I don't know. I think it probably went through two, or maybe I just got lucky and didn't go when I was young. But this hole was like a pinball, like a fake pinball machine. And it included beautiful, I mean, again, wood, like really painted with this like enamel-y paint. So it had red, like the base of the pinball board is yellow. And then there's reds, and then there's the bumpers, which are just wood, like thimbles, but there's like a deep forest green, a yellow, and a bright red. And then where the pinball display was, there was just lights, but there were at least colored bulbs, red, green, blue, yellow, green, yeah, to give it some other effects, and then at night to just make it look cool. Now this one, I think, again, you tried to shoot it up, like down, I think you just tried to shoot it up what was the same as like a plunger. And then there was one hole towards the bottom in the middle, kind of blocked by a bumper. If you got it in there, you definitely got a hole in one. But then if you got it down the side or the bottom, you know, you probably had, then it went out into another, what do you probably call that, fairway, where you probably had to one or two putt it in. Then there's also, you know, this one had a stone castle. Now, I don't, I guess I'm trying to remember this stone castle. It was kind of, it looks like it's concrete or masonry with stones and a few turrets. Nothing too fancy, but like, because it's stone and not wood, it looks like a legit, looks like a more legit. Now, I guess the difficulty with this one, I guess I'd have to get a better look here. No, it looks like it just has one entrance to the castle. So I think this was the one I was thinking of, like, similar to the barn. No, it was the castle's at the top of the hill. So again, you had the issue, if you didn't get through the castle door, your ball would keep rolling down. Or if you hit the side of the castle, your ball would roll down. I think there's also probably, like, right, if you hit it very soft, but you got to the top, like, your ball would drop, and then it would go off to the side. But if you got it over that drop off, so you had to give it enough speed to jump, but not jump too much, because your ball could bounce all the way back. There was like a little cup in the center of the castle. And then your ball would drop down, and you'd probably get a hole in one on that one too, probably pretty likely. Yeah, so those are some of the fancier holes. Let's see. Now, again, I'm surprised that there's just not as many pictures of just the holes as I would have hoped. So here I am on Google Photos. There's a lot of the, I mean, I guess when the creek's so beautiful. Let's see, this one. Okay, there's another hilly one that I'm seeing that I remember. A lot of hills. And this one, like, involved, like, different ditches. So if you hit it hard up the hill all the way, I think you wanted to get to the top, and then it would drop, and you get a hole in one. But if you didn't hit it hard enough, there was, like, a couple of cutoffs where the ball would drop. Yeah, the windmill definitely gets a lot of love. Holy cow. And the covered bridge looks good. I'm looking at a bunch of families playing here. Everybody looks like they're having a good time. Oh, here's a picture with the leaves in the late fall or the winter. And the leaves are bare. And it's not quite the same because it doesn't have that lushness, but still looks pretty good. More of the glen. Another shot of the farmhouse, maybe is a schoolhouse. I guess it's a schoolhouse or a church. Oh, no, there's a, oh, no, that's in Pennsylvania. So maybe that's not the one I was looking for. Everybody's got their picture with the windmill. We're taking these off and say, give me an on-angle shot. I would like a second-by-second run through this golf course, not some fancy photos showing off your new, your skills. So yeah, just running through these pictures. Oh, here's another one. This one's a why. Like, why would you play mini golf? Because it's fun. That's why. And in this photo here, I guess it's from a church. So it's like a church outing. There's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people, they all look like they know one another, but this hole was a Y, and the hole was actually, so you started at the base of the Y, which was a bit longer than normal. Now, either, like if your arm, now let's pretend, so your feet, if you're standing up and you're making a Y, like you're doing YMCA, so your feet would be where you'd start the golfing. I guess you'd be lying down doing this, and then your arms would be the parts of the Y. And actually, your mouth would actually be where the hole is. And where your head and your nose is actually like a stone planter. So if you miss the hole too hard, you'd go down either side of the Y and have to come back. So that's a hole you get where my conservative style really does work. Yeah, so, oh, here's another one. There's a one that has a, what is that? That's a lighthouse, they call it. Now, the lighthouse doesn't seem to be part of the hole, so I do remember this one now. So this hole is the kind of hole you want to do, what is that called, when you hit it off like an angled wall, like not rebound. I don't know, when you hit it off an angled wall, that has an actual term, but it's not ringing a bell for me. Oh, I wonder if that's a hole. I see another one that's a well. Hopefully that'll come up. But so this one, you wanted to, I guess, angle it, ping it, ping pong it. I don't know. So like the first, so it was a series of right and left angles. So the first fairway went straight until there was like a 45 degree. Is that 45 degrees or 75? I don't know. A 75-degree piece of stone, 45-degree piece of stone, like with which is on the base of a cool-looking stone lighthouse. Just for looks, just a weenie in this Disney case. Now, if you pinged it off of there, hard enough, then there was another wall, another long fairway, then another wall. then a left-hand turn, and then the hole. So, I mean, if you'd have to hit it pretty hard to do that, but that's, so the lighthouse looks pretty good. This is a different golf course, a couple of people playing, it looks pretty good. I did find a, what is that thing called, when you keep track of your score? I'm not even kidding. A scorecard, that's what it's called. So we could just run through the holes. The hole one is a par three. Hole two is a par three. Hole three is a par two. Hole four is a par two. Hole five is par two. Man, I would have never got par. Six is a par two. Seven is a par two. Eight is a par three. Nine is a par two. Par twos, that's wild. There's also like some coupons here for a nursery, a rental place, tree service, Salve bowling, garden supplies, and PIZZA. So a lot of par twos. So the front nine, is that what they call it? 21 is par. And then the back nine's a little bit harder, 23 par, for a total of 44. And on this one that I'm looking at, the people scored it. The person, one of the people got a 34, and the other person got a 50, which is very respectable, actually. Let's see. So we're rolling through here. We're looking. Oh, here's another one. Is this? I don't know if this was. No, that's not okay. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I don't know if there's any more pictures that really do it justice. So what I thought I'd do, and I knew this would happen, so I have, of course, we're here. That was holes one through nine, and a trip down Scooter's memory. Now, this, we're here now looking at, so one thing I've always been curious about is, like, Ocean City, New Jersey. My brother and his wife spend a lot of time there, as her family her parents live there, and... so it's Carl and Julie, what up, and Daniel, and someone new in the family, but not yet, like when this episode comes out. So, and Peg, and Dave, what's up? So they, like, so one thing about Ocean City that I've observed is that there's a lot of mini golf courses there. But again, when you go back to that original theory of why I didn't play a lot of mini golf, there's not, like, it's like cost prohibitive because you say, well, there's so many of them and there's so many other things that are kind of by the way, there's a 99 cent store you could get drinks at though. So that's a, like, hopefully it's still there. And also at Coors or whatever, you could taste their sample, their ice cream, before you buy it. So I've had a lot of their samples, not to say just have a sample because so I thought I'd look at some of these mini golf courses because one day, I guess I'd like to go there and play some mini golf because they have very themed, because I guess I could, well, another thing is I'm a lover of, I don't know if kitsch is the right word, but they have like animatronics, you know, I'm like the roadside amusement person. I love that stuff. The carnival feel. So they're always trying to get you in because none of them are affiliated with one another, or at least I don't know about that. So they're, so they always have these cool displays. So here's one, called, Pirate Island Golf. And I guess this one is all the way at one end near the bridge. And it's a bit like that ride that Ray loves, yeah, it looks like it's not even, maybe it's not even on the boardwalk, because I'm looking at it here, and it looks like it might be outside, but it has like a little display, it looks like it has, and this is a theme of some of them in Orlando. Maybe one day I could do one from there. And now the pictures that are coming up, it looks, there's a very hilly one, that looks like it, maybe it goes downhill. Yeah, steepest mini golf hole ever, according to this, is on Yelp. So, and then the animatronics, it looks like they have a ship, which is cool. So this is definitely one, and because it's not on the boardwalk, it might be fun. it doesn't look super busy in these pictures. So if you've played at Pirate Island Golf, let me know. Or, you know, if you work there, you know, send some free tickets Scoots' way. Boy, I'll be there. Also, looks like it has some undulating greens, which can be fun if you're good. And a waterfall. So that's pretty cool. So all in all, it looks like a nice one. It says it was voted. It's open till 12 a.m. Last tee time, though, is 11 p.m. And it's like you can see one of the water towers from there. And it looks like they have a big water feature, which is pretty common. I think like another place that I always wanted to go mini golfing was Orlando, which I did do the first time I went on a high school trip. But I think we forced our teacher to stop. We were like, stop, please. We need to play mini golf. So that poor teacher, you know, that here's another one that's seen. Let's go on to the next one. Golden Galleon, another sea themed mini golf. I guess you wouldn't, I don't associate seafaring with mini golf, but it looks like they have a couple seafaring pals. Now, this one is on Midway. It has a big buccaneer. I don't know if this is near one of the Pirates of the Golden Galleon, this one's called. It looks like it has a big mural, like with dancing. I don't know if this is near one of the food courts. It really only has three pictures, though. Yeah, the Yelp reviews are pretty good. There's only 12. Oh, here's some other pictures. Oh, yeah, so I remember this one. So this one has a talking parrot. Oh, yeah, I'm surprised there's not more pictures, because this one has, like, right up against a boardwalk, like a giant ship, and then a talking parrot, like, out of what is that called? You know, that Disney ride. So, I don't know, another one that's worth checking out for sure. Let's see, this one is a magazine, the top nine courses. There's one, we'll just skip that one. This one is, there's another one that seemed like that mansion in Disney World. And actually, it looks like the theming's pretty good. That's an indoor one, and I think it has AC. So that might be worth checking out if you're interested in getting some AC. AC and OC, you know what I'm saying? Then there's Medieval Fantasy Golf, which is, you know, themed like medieval fantasy golf. I think I read that novel, but it didn't have the mini golf in it. It just... let's see what kind of pictures we have here. So this one looks like those are people with a trophy. It looks like it has like a black light hole, which looks pretty cool, like inside of the castle. That would be fun. Maybe more than one black light hole. It looks like it has a dragon. It's kind of built into a castle. What is it near? I'm trying to look at the shops. I don't recognize anything. I mean, I'm not an expert in Ocean City at all, but looks like a fun one. Most of the pictures. Oh, here's there's a wizard holding a glowing orb, and then there's also winemaking equipment on this one hole. So that looks interesting. Oh, so it's near John's Lemonade. I don't know how old these pictures are, though. Angela's restaurant, but it does, yeah, on the roof it has a wizard, it has castles, it looks like I'm seeing pictures from a wedding set up there, so that'd be a cool place to get, you know, so I don't know how many of its holes have black light, but maybe there is one that's like all black light golf. Okay, then there's Congo Falls, which this one I definitely remember, because it has a lot of animatronics. It looks like it has a helicopter that's landed. It has like a talking, it has like a mountain that looks like King Kong. It looks like there's a lot of water features from the outside. The helicopter's like a zebra colored. And then I think it even has a show. I'm looking at some, let me see. Oh, yeah, it has, like, two gorillas in, like, tropical suits in a window, like playing music. And maybe this is even the one that has, like, a, yeah, they're inside the helicopter that landed. Yeah, so there's two of them in the middle of the sign that says Congo Falls. Like, they landed on the sign. And it looks like they have three 18-hole courses, Solomon Mine, Lost City, and Congo Queen. But yeah, so they put on like a singing show, which is cool. And yeah, so I guess that's like all I know about that one. It's like I've seen it from the outside. I mean, I think that, let's see, I'm trying to figure out which one I have the most FOMO for. Probably the one like the indoor one with the AC. Then there's Castaway Cove, which is yet another themed one. Oh, no, there was this Goofy Golf. We'll do that one last. This one, Castaway Cove, is at Playland, which is one of the two places where you can go on rides. Or maybe that's what it's called, Playland's Castaway Cove. I don't know if they have mini golf. Oh, yeah, they do. Playland's Castaway Cove. Yet another one themed with... like a seafaring theme. I don't see a lot of, oh, they do have a show though. I think, is this the one like at night there's a, on top of the entrance, the parrot and the pirate have a show. Like, I think they even like, I don't know. I don't really remember anything about it. Other than that, but it says it has a mini golf, so we'll have to, you know, we'll have to take them at their word. It looks like there's also, oh, well, I'll go through that top list. Goofy Golf was the one I remember almost being like asking to go in, like on, for Ray's sake. Because it just had a bunch of like, not paper mache, but fake, like stone and concrete, like brightly painted, like celebrity things. Like, you can see one of the heroes in a half shell here. And I think it maybe is one of the better priced ones. It seems like that's what some of the Yelp reviews are saying. Let's see. This is from the Odyssey Online. This is the top nine. So it says OC Mini Golf. They rated it as nine just because it's not as popular. As a better known. Then Pirate Island. Then, the Disney Mansion Golf has some cool pictures. Then it has some pictures from Medieval Fantasy. There is a sword in the stone hole. Then Goofy Golf. Yeah, which kind of looks like the one that if you were making in your backyard, like it just has a lot of bizarre statues and stuff like that. And they say this one might be the most crowded on the boardwalk. And it's a tad juvenile, which great for kids, not so great for dates. Animatronics are outdated, but it has like a lot of cool stuff nearby. And it's $5 per player at the time of that printing. Okay, then there's Seaport Village. Now, this one I think is the one that has some good animatronics too, of like fish friends, and maybe a cool photo opportunity. Not too far away from Castaway Cove. Then Congo Falls comes in at number three. So I'm with bated breath finding out what number two and number one are. This is according to the Odyssey Online. Yeah, let me just see who wrote this to give him credit here. Alex Bossy from Rutgers wrote it in September 5th, 2016. So great job, Alex. You really, you're in college and you're living the dream that I would have had, just getting to go to these mini golf courses. So Congo Falls, we kind of talked about, it's been rated best of many times. One of the better courses in Jersey Shore in general, three different ones, one that is fully indoors and air conditioned. They have the gorillas with music, not terribly difficult, but, you know, centrally located. Then number two is the Golden Galleon. which we kind of talked about. It has a, it looks like it, there has a cool neon palm tree, which is always nice. And a giant pirate, which can't go wrong. And then number two, okay, this is all the way at the end. The other end is, it's near Wonderland, is Tea Time Golf. Came in at number one. It looks like it's $5. And according to the author, it's fun but juvenile. Very fun. Moving objects make the holes different and difficult. Plus, it's next door to Jillian's Wonderland Pier. And plenty of other stuff. Animatronics are lacking, but awesome holes. There's good ending holes, extra holes, and the cheapest course in the city. It's tied for that. So that's a little bit. That's another. I mean, I guess that's the first one I'll check out then. But yeah, so that's a little bit about. I guess I forgot too, to use there. That's a little bit about mini golf and scooter. Good night. All right, I want to thank everybody who became a patron, Nancy, Ellen, and Met. I want to thank Galen, Hopox, and Anne. Thanks, and good night. Farah, Anna, and Debbie, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Tyler, Jessica, and Diane, thanks, and good night. You and Anna and Linda, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Elizabeth, Eddie, and Judy, thank you, thanks, and good night. Annette, Sin, and Sarah, thanks, and good night. Eustace, Aaron, and Melissa, thanks, and good night. Simon, Holly, and Toby, thank you, thanks, and good night. Jamie, Barbara, and Janet, thank you, thanks, and good night. Becky, Bobby, and Sarah, thank you, thanks, and good night. Emily, Josh, and Renee. Thank you, good night. Nathan, Kathy, and Georgina, thank you, and good night. Callie, John, and Richard, thank you, good night. Caitlin, Jim, and Mohana, thanks, and good night. Megan, Claire, and Jen, thank you, good night. Chris, Kirsten, and Alex, thanks, and good night. Shane, Megan and Antolin, thanks, and good night. Thank you, everybody, for supporting the show on Patreon. I couldn't do it without you. Sleep With Me exists as a free podcast because people support the show directly and support our sponsors. I really appreciate it. We grow as a podcast from people just sharing the natural word about the show. Thank you so much for that. And here, let me tuck in a little bit more. I got a couple more messages about some podcasts you could check out. Good night. All right, but Scoots here. I'm doing our month in review on Sleep With Me Plus, which is similar, if you're still listening on Patreon, if you could think about moving over, but it's going to be similar to what you would have seen there this month. And as far as the ad-free episodes, a lot of them are coming out in the ad-supported feed that you all listen to as well. I gotta find the right podcast app. So I was also buying time because, okay. So like, so on Sleep With Me Plus, one of the main differences, everything is separated out into its own feeds. So there's four different podcasts. I'm going to start with the bonus episode podcast. So it just has bonus shows. And on March 2nd, a mayor tour, Welcome to Scooterville, a posty special edition super deluxe episode came out. These are really cool. They come out on a couple Saturdays a month. And these are something that's just really important, been really important to me. Ideally down the road, we'll have budget to do more or somebody else even do a version two. But it's basically Chris Posty Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful. It takes an episode of Sleep With Me and reimagines it in a sense, which that's pretty much it. Like that's all the instructions for Chris. Hey, take an episode, reimagine it. But this year, Chris has been doing this for years. So in the bonus feed is years and years and years of this. As a matter of fact, in the bonus feed I'm looking at, there's 377 episodes. I think that's in the Boar Besties feed. But so right now in 2020, four? Is that what year it is? Chris is doing this Scooterville series. So definitely worth checking out if you're like, love Sleeping Me. You're looking for something like a little bit different with some sound design. You want to listen to it during the day. Or a lot of people, when they start to support the show and they discover these, this is what they sleep to because everybody's a little bit different. What else we got in this feed? Audio news, Scooterville. Oh, Contact. TNG Contact Part 2 came out since I think we last recorded this. And then a Fearless Flyer episode is about to come out. I think it may be this week, the February Fearless Flyer episode. Okay, then Boar Besties and Boar Friends also get a feed with All Intro and All Night shows. So Thursday night, All Intro episode came out. Weird, the All Night episode, I might have archived it, but Big Farm in the Sky, PI, huh, I guess there's an all-night episode that's going to come out or should be in this feed that is, so doesn't seem to be there. So this is good. I'm checking this. This is live quality control. Maybe it's in another feed. I put it in the wrong feed. But yeah, not sure which one it is either. So I'll have to look into that. So that's interesting. Okay, then you get a feed with ad-free full episodes. And so they don't have any, they don't have the supporter zone, they don't have the sponsor stuff, they don't have the mystery bard music or the thank yous at the end, but they are something that, because you can listen to that in the ad-supported version, right? But so let's see, episode 1245 came out Sunday, that was Great British Bake Off episode 8, Multiplex episode 3 came out, Hickory Dickory Farms, Ren Faire with Ray came out March 3rd, 1243, 1242, Bake Off episode 7 came out, February 25th, Multiplex episode 2 came out, Julius J. Juice, what else we got, 1240, Apple Cider Redo, that was Trader Joe's a Shop and Cook episode, big retraction in that one, you know, retracted my opinion on apple cider donuts from Trader Joe's. So, yeah, and then the audio news. And then in story only, we had, C12, the same thing. Everything comes out on Sleeping Me Plus. This is so cool. There's something we only have been able to do since we moved to a new platform, is we're able to put out the story only episodes and the full episodes on the same day because they're in separate podcasts. We couldn't do that on the old platform because everything would just been too clogged up and it would just been too confusing for a large number of people. So now, yeah, story only, there's like a lot of story only fans and yeah, they got the same thing. Great British Bake Off 8, Multiplex 3, Ren Faire with Ray, Great British 7, Multiplex 2, Trader Joe's Shop and Cook, Apple Cider, then Dessert Week, Great British Bake Off, whatever, episode 6, Multiplex 1, Wandering Towers, Board Game Unboxing. So yeah, that's everything that came out this week. I don't have my calendar in front of me. I've been working really hard at the planning calendar, and we got some exciting stuff coming up to sleep to. That's so exciting, you don't need to listen to it. What do we have? Multiplex 7 I recorded yesterday. Started writing Multiplex 8 today. These are a couple months away, but the Guild, the web series of the Guild, we did a part of season 1 of that, and we're definitely going to do season 1 of that and probably season 2, maybe go on, I don't know, maybe do season 1 and season 2 and take a break. Those will be coming out late spring, early summer. I came up with 2 new ideas for random Tuesday episodes, one with pillow, like other plush friends, a pillow pet, and then another one that would be called the Marble Vagabond. And those were episode ideas that came out of intros. Neither of those has been recorded, though. Those intros were recorded. The Marble Vagabond intro will be in part 2 of our coverage of the movie Bring It On. What else have we recorded? I guess in the last month, we did an episode called Willy Wonka Interactive Experience, Immersive Adventure, which I was really happy with. And that's going to be a new genre of Sleep With Me style show of like... poorly run immersive experiences, like the one like that, kind of what got a lot of press. And we got to work on the audio for something very similar, but it was called the Wildy Wonga experience. Also not a very high budget experience, but at least it had audio from Scoots or a narrator like Scoots. So that'll come out late spring, early summer. And then our crossover series, we got three episodes done, episode 2, 3, and 4 from season 1. So that'll be coming out this spring too and summer. So yeah, that's everything right now. And thanks so much. If you're listening, it's a free feed. It'd be great. If you think about supporting the show, it's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. This enables us to do everything we do, and those of you that support the sponsors, we also really count on those of you that just spread the word about the show. So thank you for doing that. And that's it. Good night, everybody.